Oh, thank you all for sticking around till the end. I know it's lunchtime, so I'll try to go as quickly as I can. And so I'm Sharada Krishnan. I'm the Director of Horticulture at Denver Botanic Gardens. And this project, comparing the genetic diversity of the Arabica coffee variety Geisha from Panama and Ethiopia, was sponsored by a good friend of mine in the coffee industry, Willem Boot of Boot Coffee. And a little background about coffee. Coffea Arabica belongs to the Rubiaceae family in the tribe Coffeae. And there are 10 genus within this tribe, of which coffee includes the genus Coffea has 124 species. Initially, it was just recently, the genus Silanthus was subsumed into Coffea, making it 124 species. So originally Coffea, when it was 102 species, it was predominantly, the origin, center of origin was Africa, Madagascar, and the Mascarene Islands. And with the inclusion of Silanthus into Coffea, now the geographic origin, the geographic range expands into India, Southeast Asia, and Australia. And so Coffea Arabica, of the 124 species, is the only species that is a tetraploid. All other Coffea species are diploids. So being a tetraploid, it is a self-compatible species. Predominantly 90% of Arabica coffee are self-pollinated. And so there are two other Coffea species, the Heterocalyx and Antoniae, that are also self-pollinated. And Coffea Arabica it's an allotetraploid because it was a natural cross that happened in the forest in Ethiopia between the progenitors were Eugenioides and Coffea canephora. So there are two cultivated coffee, Arabica. 70% of the coffee production is Arabica coffee, and the rest of the 30% comes from the Robusta coffee, which is Coffea canephora. And because Coffea Arabica is self-pollinating and also a tetraploid, the genetic diversity is very low in the species. And all the Coffea Arabica coffee that's cultivated in South and Central America come from their very small genetic base. And so hence it is very prone to pests and diseases. And so a little background about the economic importance of coffee. It's one of the world's largely traded tropical agricultural commodity with an annual production of about 7 million tons of green beans. And it's produced in about 80 tropical countries and impacting the livelihoods of over 75 million people. And the International Coffee Organization's 2009-10 report accounts for about a coffee export of about U.S. $15.4 billion. So the Geisha coffee was first discovered in western Ethiopia in Maji and Goldija provinces in the 1930s. And there was a coffee grower in Panama, Price Peterson. He was originally from Penn State. He was a chemist, and he moved to Panama to form this Esmeralda plantation. And he's the first one who brought the Geisha coffee to Panama. So when this report went out, he contacted me. He sent me this letter from which was published back in from the British colony back in January 29th, 1936. So this one of the British colonists, he reported back to his supervisor, Sir Sidney Barton, and he reported that the director of agriculture in Kenya had asked him to go to the Geisha forest and collect 10 pounds of coffee that could enable them to carry out some experimental work in the colony in Kenya. And so he had always thought of Geisha coffee as being cultivated in plantations, but he went to the provinces. He found out, to his surprise, that it was wild coffee that was growing in old and aged rainforests under shade of enormous trees. So he collected these, so he wasn't able to collect 10 pounds, so he collected and sent it through Tanzania. It went to Kenya. And so where it went to an experimental station, and then from Kenya it came into Costa Rica, and then from Costa Rica it came into Panama in 1963. And so the Geisha coffee is phenotypically it's very different from the regular Arabica. The most popular cultivar is Typica, and it's a little phenotypically different. It has a large elliptical leaves, elliptical beans, and narrow leaves. And also it has very unique flavor profiles. My friend Willem, he does a lot of coffee tasting, and he characterizes it as the taste of super ripe papaya and spicy, with a spicy mint finish. And in online auctions, they go for about over $170 a pound. And so he was very intrigued by this coffee, and he went to Ethiopia, to the Geisha province, to explore the origins of this Geisha coffee. And so he went in 2006, could not find the forest. He went back in 2009, 2011, and finally, his second trip in 2012, he went through all these, he got stuck in mud. It was the rainy season, got stuck in mud, and finally was able to find the forest where this Geisha was grown. And the local farmers in the Geisha province were harvesting these fruits and selling them in the market. And so the purpose of my research was to compare how similar is the Geisha in Panama to the forest Geisha, how similar or different are they? Did the Panamanian Geisha come from the forest that he discovered in 2012? So that was the whole purpose of my study. And the only problem with this was I had very small sample size. So, but the purpose of the study, I think it was fine. And so from the Ethiopian population, I just had 8 samples. And from the Panamanian population, I just had 3 samples. And one of the limitations was he collected the seeds from habitats, certain localities, and pooled seeds from different plants together. If I had done the sampling, I would have collected from individual trees and kept them as a separate sample. But I had to work with what I had. And so, and also, I had to work with green beans. I'd never extracted DNA from green beans. I'd always used leaves. And so I had to develop protocols because from Ethiopia, from their genetic, they are not allowed to send germplasm out of the country, but the green beans were already being traded, so we were able to bring the green beans to do the testing. And so I used an ISSR markers because of the low sample size and it was a small study, I did not do SSR markers, then I would have had to send it out to somebody and I didn't have the funding to do that. So in my own lab, I was able to do with ISSR markers. I started with 16 different ISSR markers, of which 11 amplified, and I optimized them for their temperature, for the PCR conditions. And then for data analysis, I used gel compare to score the presence or absence of the homologous DNA bands. And I used PopGene 3 to score the gene diversity and Shannon's information index and Genelex to do the analysis of molecular variants and nice genetic distance. And then the results, the ISSR polymorphism, I was able to get 138 bands, of which 53%, 73 bands were polymorphic. And it ranged from 10% polymorphism in UBC-834 to about 95% polymorphism in UBC-842. And then, so the measures of genetic diversity, the Shannon's, the percentage, so for the Ethiopian population, the had much higher genetic diversity compared to the Panamanian population. So it had Ethiopian population had 49.2% polymorphic loci, and with a Shannon's index of 0.266 compared to the Panamanian population of 0.15, and the nice gene diversity was also higher. So in comparison to other studies that have used ISSR using wild forest coffee, Aga et al. In 2005, they studied 12 populations from 4 different regions in Ethiopia, wild coffee. And for them, their Shannon's information index was 0.11. So compared to that, the Ethiopian wild population for Geisha has 0.26, which is much higher, as well as the nice genetic diversity was also higher for the Geisha coffee compared to the regular Arabica coffee. And the analysis of molecular variants, a majority of the partitioning of genetic diversity was within population. 96% of the variation was within population, with only 4% among population. And which was also confirmed when I did the nice genetic distance, the difference between the two populations was only 0.07. So that's confirmed that they're very genetically, the Panamanian population is very genetically similar to the Ethiopian population. So based on these, my conclusions were that the Arabica Geisha retains very high genetic diversity. So it should be used in other breeding programs because the whole Arabica, the genetic diversity being so low, I think we need to tap into the Geisha resources in the Ethiopian forest in future breeding programs. And then the Panamanian geisha had very low diversity than Ethiopian geisha. So I think the future would be to go and do more exploration. But with genetic resources and the transfer, it's a little harder. But I think we need to make an attempt to expand the genetic diversity of the Panamanian population. And also genetically, the Panamanian and Ethiopian geisha were very similar. So what are the next steps? And one of the biggest problems with coffee right now is the coffee leaf rust, Hemelia vestatrix. And in the 2011-2013, there was this huge epidemic infestation in Central America. And Mexico, 60% of the trees have been exhibiting 80% defoliation. And also it's been seen in Nicaragua, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, a lot of Central American countries, with crop losses are predicted at $500 million, with loss of jobs of over 300,000 job loss. So one of the things with the geisha coffee has been that in the field in Panama, it appears to be resistant to coffee leaf rust. And so the breeding for coffee leaf rust resistant has become a big priority. I know World Coffee Research has been doing a lot. They are doing a lot of variety trials all over the coffee growing regions. And Arabica has been identified with these four genes. There are 9 resistant genes that have been identified that are resistant to coffee leaf rust. And the Arabica has shown 4 genes. The Robusta coffee has 4, and then the Coffea Liberica has SH3. And the Liberica genes, I think in India, in a lot of breeding programs, the Liberica has been used in breeding programs to incorporate the SH3 genes into Arabica. So I think the next step would be to do linkage maps and identify what resistant gene the geisha coffee has. And then based on that, using it in breeding programs to breed for leaf rust resistance. With that.
We have time for questions.
Yes.
Okay, would that germplasm be shared with, say, the coffee programs in Kenya and Ethiopia?
Can you repeat
the question? Ethiopia already has it, but say in Kenya and Tanzania, I know they have their own breeding programs.
They do have their own breeding programs. I know World Coffee Research has been trying to replicate gene banks all over. I know Costa Rica has a good germplasm too. But the problem with all these gene banks, it's an aging. All these gene banks are aging, and the trees are all old. And I know that Costa Rica has a good cryopreservation program also. So I think the sharing, I think that all has to be agreed. Countries have to agree upon this germplasm sharing, and the World Coffee Research was formed mainly for that. That is through the Norman Borlaug Institute at Texas A&M. It is funded by the coffee industry, the World Coffee Research. And I was involved in a program with them in South Sudan 2 years ago to look at the germplasm in South Sudan. So yes, I know Kenya has a lot of gene banks, and Ethiopia has their own field gene bank, and it is coming to agreement in sharing the germplasm.
Other questions?
Thank you.
Thanks. That ends the session.